Okay, good morning.
Good morning.
And how are you?
I'm fine, are you?
Good, fine, thank you. Today we're going to do lesson four, mm-hmm. and we will practice, of course, the questions in lesson four. I have various related questions, mm-hmm. and some of them are related to past lessons we've practiced here, so we'll do some review of those also. And then some of them are just new questions, maybe, that you could try and that are often asked at the tour guide exam. Okay? So we'll start and we'll let you practice. I might have you say it maybe once or twice, depending on how it sounds. Okay? So the first question today is, when did Japan emerge as a nation? Okay, and what do you have for an answer?
Okay. Japan emerged as a nation by 7th century.
Okay, by the 7th century.
By the 7th century.
Okay.
It's very sure. But actually, in Japan, there were many clans already in 4th century.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, among these clans, one clan became a top leader.
Okay.
Which is ancestor of the present emperor.
Okay.
And that clan led other clans and conquered other areas of Japan.
Okay.
So about 70%, 80% of Japan was ruled actually by the top leader,
okay.
which is the ancestor of the present emperor.
Okay.
So we can say in the 4th century or 5th century, actually Japan was led by one leader. So I think it means already a nation.
Okay. When does Japan celebrate its foundation day?
Foundation day is April 11th. February 11th.
Right. Why is this day chosen to be the foundation day?
Oh, it was based on the legend in Nippon Shoki or Kojiki.
Okay.
Who are the historic the book?
Original history book?
History book, yeah.
Well, I think it's called Chronicles of Japan or something. I'm not sure. I remember. Yeah. Okay.
And in the books, it said the Japan's first emperor was enthroned on the day.
Okay.
On the day of many years ago, which is about 2,600 years ago, something like that. It's okay. Legend. It's
right.
Not
it's a legend.
Legend.
Right. Okay.
Not necessarily historical fact.
Right. Okay. Good. Yeah. Be careful of the pronunciation of the word legend. I think 99% of my students have trouble with this word.
Mm-hmm.
And the accent is on the first syllable, legend.
Legend.
Okay, and I know there's a car, and I forget who makes it. Is it Honda or Nissan or somebody makes a car called Legende?
Legende.
And people kind of say the same pronunciation, and it sounds kind of like katakata English.
Mm-hmm.
So put the accent on the first syllable, legend.
Legend.
Because a lot of students end up saying legend or legend. Something like this.
Yeah,
or
right.
And it's
so
not
how
legend.
How did I say? I said
yeah,
legend.
Again, I think legend. Legend or something. I think this, it's the second syllable is rather soft, so it's legend.
Legend.
Yeah, that's right. And as I say, in the guide test, one of the, qualities they look for is pronunciation. Mm-hmm. So if you have problem with one word, change it. Mm-hmm. And my idea sometimes is to change words that are easier to pronounce rather than to try to say difficult words that you don't say correctly. Mm-hmm. So in this respect, maybe an ancient story, an old story, mm-hmm. is probably junior high school English, but it's much more easier to pronounce because mm-hmm. legend is just seems to be very difficult. Actually, a legend is not a real spoken word too often. Mm-hmm. We usually say old story or old tale is
old
also
tale,
one.
Old story.
Right, ancient story, mm-hmm. something like this. So that's just a hint. If you prefer to say that, that's mm-hmm. okay.
Old story, old tale.
Right, an old tale. Okay, good. All right, so yeah, Japan, but the textbook said that Japan officially, merged in the 7th century, but of course there were, before that, the 4th and 5th century, there were leaders. But Japan celebrates its Foundation Day on February 11th because that's the day that the first emperor was believed to, ascend the throne, right?
Yeah, right.
I think, is it Jimmu?
Jimmu.
Emperor Jimmu was the first one to ascend the throne. So that's why February 11th, probably the date translates to February 11th now, and that's the date that Japan has chosen. Okay, good. What about Japan's size? Can you tell me how big Japan is?
How big Japan is?
Yes.
Land area of Japan is about 360 square kilometers. It stretches from the northernmost point to the southernmost point. Japan is an archipelago. And the size of the land area is very close to that of California in America, and also Germany and the UK.
Right. Okay. Good. I think about three. My official number I have is 378,000 square kilometers.
380.
Yeah, about 380. I think you might have said 60, yeah. But I think 380. About 380,000 square kilometers. Good. Good. Let's go on to question two. Mm-hmm. Okay, and this says, where did the Japanese people come from? It's difficult to explain because a lot of people are not experts.
Yeah.
Okay. And the problem is they're saying expressions in English about things they're not sure of, so it becomes difficult. So probably, this can be made a little easier depending on how you want to say. But I'll listen to your answer first, and then we'll see, also compare that to what the book says, and then maybe give some hints about what, how to make this a little easier. Okay, so where did the Japanese people come from?
Yes, about that issue, there are many, many opinions.
Okay.
So, many opinions, so integrating these opinions, I can say something.
Okay.
The conclusion, my conclusion is that Japanese people were from many, many areas.
Okay.
South, like Indonesia, Philippines.
Okay.
And Southeast Asia. And also China.
Okay.
Of course. And also Siberia. So it includes many and almost every area surrounding Japan.
Okay.
It's separated. The source is separated by the era, time.
Oh, okay. By the time. Okay.
By the time. there was a Jomon era in Japan. Which lasted from 12,000 years ago to 2,000 years ago.
Okay.
And at that time, Japan archipelago was part of the Asian continent.
Okay.
So many people, especially from north, came to Japan by walk, on foot.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because no sea.
Okay.
But after that, Japan was separated from the continent.
Right.
Because the temperature went up.
Okay.
So many people came to Japan by boat or raft on the Japan current from south to north.
All right.
With the rice farming technology.
Okay.
So that we call that era Yayoi era.
Okay.
When we started the rice farming because of people from south.
Okay.
South area.
Area. Okay.
So we can say our stock is the mixture of South or Jomon strain and Yayoi strain.
Okay, good.
So all include right.
everything. Yes. Good. All right, that's actually a good answer. It's maybe a little long.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
And, you know, I've said that if you want to say lots of things, you have to say it a little faster, because if you say lots of things quickly, then you can say lots of things. If it takes too long at the guide test, they don't like real long answers. But your answer was actually very good. It was very thorough. So that was fine. So if you just practice to say it a little bit, you know, faster, then you can say all of that. If not, you might have to cut out a few things, but that was good. And I think your answer is very clear. It's, you know, basically my answer would be the same. The Japanese people are basically a mixture of various people from different parts of, you know, Asia, from China, from the north, and they, you know, developed over time also from the Jomon period and then to the Yayoi period. Okay. In the answer they give in the model, the model answer they give in the book, the first sentence, we can say that the Japanese stock was created over a long period of time. But if you don't want to say something like that, you're going to say, you know, we can say the Japanese developed over a long period of time. Just make it more simple, I think.
Japanese developed?
Yeah, the Japanese developed over a long period of time and are a mixed people from, you know, the Southeast Asia, China, and northern areas that eventually all became kind of a Japanese race. Okay? Japanese people.
But you said Japanese developed over a long time, becoming the mixture? What did you say?
Oh, okay. So if I can remember, the Japanese developed over a long period of time and after developed from a mixture of, you know, various people from Southeast Asia, from China, and from the North. Mm-hmm. And also during, as you said, during certain periods of time, the Jomon period people and then the Yayoi period people. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah? Okay. All right. Good. So that's, I hope that's clear for everybody. Good. And, right now, how is Japan's territory? How is it determined? The current
territory?
Yeah, Japanese territory. How, when and how was it determined? Do you know?
Where and how? Just the present territory was determined by the general headquarters of the Allies just after the Second World War.
Okay.
So at the time we gave up the Taiwan and Taiwan Island and also Korea Peninsula.
Okay, Korean Peninsula.
Korean Peninsula.
Good. Uh huh.
Uh huh. They used to be our land, but they are discarded.
Right. Okay. So.
And
well, that's.
And how? Yeah.
Well,
so the present island is limited to four main islands, mm-hmm. Honshu, Shikoku, Kyushu, Hokkaido, and other about 6,000 smaller islands.
Right. Okay, good. Yeah, so the present territory was determined after World War II.
Yes.
And basically the territory went back to what it was before the war, right? Yeah, okay. So all of the other land that Japan took from maybe Korea and China and Taiwan, that all went back to their own respective countries. So, good.
Can I say we give up the Taiwan and Korea?
Yeah, we gave up or just we gave back, or you could make it passive. So the land went back to Taiwan, or the land returned to Korea.
Oh, okay.
Okay, it depends on how politically correct you want to. Japan gave up the territory it took during the war,
mm-hmm.
or the territory we went back to the original countries.
Original countries,
right, okay. To Korea, to China, to Taiwan. Okay, what we'll do is go on to question number three. Question number three asks, how long have the Ainu people inhabited Japan? How long have the Ainu people lived in Japan?
Okay, it's also a little bit difficult to answer because not so much evidence exists. Some researchers and scholars say that they started to inhabit Japan at least from Jomon era, which started about 12,000 years ago.
Okay.
So it might be sure, but nobody knows about before that.
Okay. Right, all right, so right, from about the time of the, Jomon period, people, they lived in Hokkaido. Good. Let's talk a little bit about Hokkaido. That's where they lived.
Mm-hmm.
What is the climate of Hokkaido like?
Hokkaido, the climate of Hokkaido belongs to the semi-arctic zone.
Okay, subarctic zone?
Subarctic zone.
Okay.
So it's a little bit different from the Honshu, which is the most largest, which is the largest island in Japan.
Okay.
The Honshu climate is temperate, while the Hokkaido climate is severe because it's just like in winter, it's just like Siberia.
Right, so let's say that the temperature is different from Honshu, which is in the temperate zone.
Oh, temperate zone.
Right, it's not, the climate isn't temperate in a sense because it gets very hot in summer and, like Tokyo, places get warm. So it's in the temperate zone.
Zone, yeah.
And the climate in Hokkaido in winter is severe. Because actually summer is pleasant.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Why don't we try that again? What is the climate like in Hokkaido?
The climate of Hokkaido belongs to the subarctic zone.
Okay.
So it's a little bit different from the Honshu, the climate of Honshu, because the climate of Honshu belongs to the temperate zone.
Okay.
So in Hokkaido, it's comfortable in summertime,
mm-hmm.
but it's very severe in winter because the temperature is frozen. The temperature is almost frozen point.
Yeah,
always.
Below freezing? Or?
Below freezing. Below freezing.
Okay.
And heavy snowfall and strong wind. But in spring and in autumn and in summer, relatively comfortable compared with the Honshu.
Right. Okay, and Hokkaido doesn't have a rainy season.
Correct.
Right? Okay. And Hokkaido doesn't have a rainy season like the rest of Japan. Good.
Hokkaido doesn't have rainy season. The rainy season.
Doesn't have probably
a rainy season.
Yeah, a rainy season.
A rainy season.
Good. When do you think is the best time to visit Hokkaido?
Oh, okay. It depends on your hobby or what you like.
Okay.
But, I recommend you you go over there in summertime.
Okay.
In summer. Because it's not so hot. Mm-hmm. And the air is dry. So you should feel comfortable. And the Hokkaido is covered by green.
Okay.
And you can see the perfect blue sky against the green forest or green bushes.
Okay.
So, and also, you can go anywhere. For example, if you like hot spring, mm-hmm. you can go. There are many, many hot springs over there.
Okay.
And also, in the plain, rice grows
In the maybe plain area.
In plain area,
yeah.
In the rice is growing, mm-hmm. and also in another in plain, you can find many vegetables.
Right.
So, you can see you can feel the vastness.
Right, vastness of Hokkaido. Yeah, they say it's very different from the rest of Japan, right? Okay, so probably, yeah, you know, depends on your taste, your interests, your hobbies, right? If you like skiing, winter is good. If you like hiking and that type of thing, then summer. Mm-hmm. If you like beautiful scenery, of course, summer, spring, fall, anytime is beautiful. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. So, you know, it depends on what you like. And of course, fall time has beautiful leaves, leaves,
yes.
Right? Good. Tell me, you know, last question about Hokkaido. Tell me, what are some interesting places to visit in Hokkaido?
In Hokkaido? Oh, you have many places to go. But one of them is Noboribetsu.
Okay.
Which is closely located to the Tomakomai. I'm not sure you are familiar with Tomakomai, which is one of the biggest cities in Hokkaido.
Okay.
And in Noboribetsu, you have many, many hot springs.
Okay.
And also you have a lake, round lake, and you can enjoy the
boat riding. Right.
Boat
okay,
riding.
And that's what, on Lake Toya?
No.
Different lake? Not sure. Shikotsu?
No.
Shikotsu is too close
and,
to...
And
between them,
two lakes,
okay.
You have a smaller...
Okay, I'm not familiar with that lake. Okay.
It's not famous, but it's just adjacent to the Noboribetsu.
Oh, okay.
So it's very easy.
Right.
It only 5 to 10 minutes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know that lake. Okay.
By car.
Right.
So and also you can see the hot springs, we call hot springs hell.
Right.
You can smell the sulfur.
Right.
And it's good to see.
Right, okay. It's like a steaming valley of hell, right?
Yeah, steaming valley of hell. Yeah.
Okay, right. Good. All right, good. I know. Actually, Lake Toya is not too far from Noboribetsu. Lake Toya, that's also a place to visit. Other places in Hokkaido people like to visit are, of course, Sapporo, the major city, and Otaru.
Otaru, yes.
Which is nice. There's the Shiretoko, which is a World Heritage site for nature.
Yes.
And, of course, lots of other nice places and hot springs, of course. And Hakodate is another nice city. So there are many places to visit. And also, as you mentioned, to see the vastness of Hokkaido, I think Furano is a very nice place that people like.
Lavender.
With the lavenders.
Lavender.
Not lavender. Lavender.
Lavender.
But the accent goes on the first syllable. Lavender.
Lavender.
Yeah. Good.
R-A or A-A?
It's L. Lavender.
Lavender.
Right. Good. Okay. Let's go on to then question four. The next question is, what period of Japanese history are you interested in most?
Oh, I live in Kamakura. So naturally, my favorite is Kamakura era.
Okay.
And the Kamakura period is the last, is the first period that during that time, samurai class took over the government.
Right. Okay. So probably this Kamakura period is the first time when. Is the first time when the samurai took over the government.
But the first time when?
When?
W-I-N.
W-H-E-N. The first time.
When?
When? The first time, well, you don't even need when. The first time the samurai took over the government.
The first time samurai took over the government.
Right, okay.
Okay. So, and during that time, during that era, people are not so peaceful because the climate and was the weather was very bad. So they there were many droughts and too much rainfalls.
Okay.
So, as a result of that, they have starved almost to death.
Okay.
So, the as a result of that, many Buddhist religions, Buddhism religions, sects occurred. And
or not, there occurred many Buddhist religions, sects. Were established?
Established, yes.
Or were brought from Nara or someplace?
Yeah. Right. Established. And as a result, many, many temples were built. So, and including the great image of Buddha in Hase, in south part of Japan, in south part of Kamakura.
Right, is it? Right, okay. Kotoku-in? No.
Kotoku-in, yes.
Yeah,
Kotoku-in,
okay, yes. All right.
Kotoku-in.
Good.
And at the same time, the feudalism started in this era.
Okay.
Which continued, feudalism itself continued to the end of Edo era, which was 19th century.
Right. When was the Kamakura period?
Oh, Kamakura period spans from 1192 to 1333.
Right, okay.
So about 140 years last.
Right, okay. Why do you think that, well, they in the Kamakura period, they established many temples in Kamakura. Why are there so many temples there?
Oh, New religions during that era, Buddhism sect were established.
Okay.
By many monks.
Right. Okay.
So, and the Kamakura government resided in Kamakura.
Right.
So, these new sects gathered at Kamakura.
Okay, right. So they, okay. Just going on, why did they choose Buddhism? Why did they choose these sects, like Dinzai sect? Why did they like them? Why did the government select those? Do you know the reason?
Oh, the government, you mean the Kamakura. Reason why Kamakura government selected Rinzai sect?
Right, they liked Buddhism and especially the Rinzai sect. Why do you think they liked this?
Oh, I think the essence of Rinzai sect is meditation.
Okay.
We call Zen.
Right, Zen, okay.
The Zen. Mm-hmm. So you sit and meditate for 12, 3 hours, it depends. They don't, so the your brain should be, should become empty.
Right. Free of thought, free of worry, right?
So it's, they are not supposed to eat so much, they are supposed to behave very moderately, gently. So it's this kind of idea of Zen sect of Rinzai Shu is matched to the to that of. Samurai's mind.
Right. Okay, good. Yeah, that's the answer. Sure. So, they've asked the question in the guide test, in the interview test, and they've asked a question, why are there so many Buddhist temples in Kamakura? Mm-hmm. And of course, the answer is that, you know, the Kamakura government supported Buddhism and built many temples. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in a sense, that's true. That's just the top of the answer. Mm-hmm. Deeper answer is, of course, what you just said. The reason, you know, I'm asking, why did they choose Buddhism? Is because, as you said, the Rinzai sect especially matched the samurai thinking, right? The discipline, and they had to behave, and they had to concentrate, and they had to think with a fresh mind and no worries, no thoughts. They had to train themselves. And the Rinzai sect is also strict, just like the samurai warriors lived a strict life. So it matched them. And that's the reason. Good. Okay. There's another question later on about what was the Kamakura period like, so I'll save some more questions for that time. Good, so your favorite period is Kamakura period. What are some other periods, I mean, you know, do you think are also important in Japanese history? So your favorite is...
next one?
Yeah, well, your favorite is Kamakura. Mm-hmm. That's fine. Any period, of course, it's your choice. Mm-hmm. Just make sure you know when it is, what happened, and, you know, things like this, which you answered. That's fine. Mm-hmm. What other periods do you think are important in Japanese history?
Important to Japanese history? Mm-hmm. I think it's the Meiji period.
Okay.
Because Meiji period is totally different from... the era before the Meiji period.
Okay, right. Mm-hmm.
Before the Meiji period, it was a feudal system.
Right.
But from the just after the Meiji restoration, which was 1868, mm-hmm. Almost everything was changed.
Right.
Political system, economic system.
Okay.
and education system and army system.
Right. Okay.
So, in order to go parallel with European country, or in order to not to be invaded mm-hmm. by the European country and
right.
America. So, they made effort, and they were successful in the change. So that is why we can enjoy the present economic situation.
Right,
economic
okay.
flourishment.
Right, because the Meiji period started, was Japan's period to start modernization.
Modernization, yeah,
right.
modernization.
Right, okay. So that's why it's also important, because it took the step to modernize and, in a sense, catch up with the world's powers at the time.
Yes.
And if Japan did not do that, maybe Japan would have been colonized.
Mm-hmm.
And so to avoid that, they understood they had to make drastic changes, and they changed lots of things. So, right, the Meiji period is also very important.
Yes.
Right? Okay. What do you think about the Edo period? What do you think, what was society like in the Edo period?
Oh, Edo period was also very important era to in Japanese history, because in Edo era, they took the seclusion.
Seclusion policy, right?
Seclusion
the government
policy.
Established a seclusion policy.
Seclusion policy.
Right.
Established a seclusion policy.
Some people say national isolation policy.
National isolation
Both
policy.
Both are okay, all
yeah.
right?
Seclusion policy. So, the Edo era was relatively at peace.
Right, okay.
Because of that, they can grow their own culture. And for example, Kabuki is a typical one. Kabuki theater
okay.
is a typical one. Puppet theater was also invented and developed
okay.
and completed during the Edo period. Many other things, for example, paintings, ukiyo-e, we call it ukiyo-e,
okay,
wood block print.
Prints,
yeah,
okay.
Has developed during that Edo era.
Right.
So, and also education was... education system was good for not only for samurai class, but only for the common people,
right.
including merchant craftsmen
right.
and farmers. So I think the base of right now. We have been industrialized.
Right.
But the base basis started at that time.
Right. Okay. Good. Right. It's very important. The national isolation policy, the national seclusion mm-hmm. policy also is very important, because in my terms, I say Japan lived in a bubble. We say we lived in a bubble, B-U-B-B-L-E, right? Because there was no influence from the outside world. You know, I know in the Japanese, they're like hakuiri musume, somebody is put in a box and left without, you know, influence, so left alone. So that's why Japan, in the sense we say, lived in a bubble, because there was no influence. And so that's why these cultures, ukiyo-e, the bundaku, they all developed a very unique Japanese, you know, style, because there was no influence from any other countries. And also Edo period had a very strict caste system, four-class caste system. right? With the samurai at the top, and then the farmers, then the craftspeople, then the merchants. So everybody had to live in their caste, in their own class. They lived in the caste system in their own class, and everything was kind of peaceful mm-hmm. because of that. There wasn't much mixing and things. So people knew their position in society and respected that.
Yeah.
So good. Yes. You mentioned ukiyo-e. Can you tell me more about ukiyo-e?
Okay. Ukiyo-e started about it's mid Edo era.
Okay.
So which is around late 18th century.
Right. Okay.
In Edo, not in Osaka, but in Edo, which is Tokyo now.
Okay.
The typical one is typical painters of ukiyo-e is Hokusai Katsushika,
okay.
Hiroshige Utagawa,
okay.
And other some other famous persons.
Okay.
Hiroshige is the most famous, and not only in Japan but also in the world.
Okay.
Painted many paintings, but the famous one is pictures focusing on Mount Fuji.
That was who? Hiroshige.
We call it Fugaku Sanjuroke.
Yeah, that's Hokusai, right?
Yes, Hokusai.
Okay, I thought you said.
Did I say
I think you said Hiroshige, right?
Oh,
so tell me about the Hokusai first.
Hokusai. Yes. I thought I'm talking about Hokusai.
Mm.
So Hokusai is very famous in the world, his paintings were centered around the Mount Fuji.
Right.
So all colors of Mount Fuji, all shapes of Mount Fuji
right.
were drawn by him. And it's if you go to New York Museum and Paris, the museum in Paris,
mm-hmm.
You can find his pictures.
Right. He drew famous, the 36 scenes of Mount Fuji?
Yeah, 36 right. scenes of Mount Fuji.
Right. Okay. Hiroshige is also famous. What is he most famous for?
He is famous for the Tokaido 53 stations. Tokaido is main road connecting Tokyo, which used to be Edo,
right.
Tokyo, to Kyoto.
Right.
And between the two stations, you had 51 stations. 53 stations.
Okay.
So Hiroshige picked up these stations backed by the scenery.
Right, painted the 53, paint. Right. Now, how many paintings in this 53 stations, mm-hmm. Gojusan Tsugi?
55.
It's 55 because why?
Including the edge point of Tokyo, Edo, and Kyoto.
Right, the beginning and end, the destination and the beginning
and
point.
Destination.
Right, so included those two makes 55, right, good. All right. Let's go on to, we have a few more questions before we take a break. Let's go on to, who do you think is the most important person in Japanese history? Question number five.
Yes. I have many, many important persons.
Okay, well,
but
you choose one.
Them,
I'm probably going to ask about others just to practice. So.
Yeah. Among them, Toshimichi Okubo. Is the most important person in Japanese history Because he was the core person in the Meiji Restoration, which occurred 1868. He and his colleagues, his colleagues, politicians, made...
political colleagues?
Political colleagues.
Okay.
His political colleagues made a drastic change from Edo era to the modernized nation. He was very enthusiastic, and also he was very strong person, strong-minded person. So I think if he was not, if he didn't exist, the Meiji Restoration was not so perfect one.
Okay, the Meiji Restoration would not have been... successful?
So successful. Would right. not have been so successful.
Okay. Good. Other people choose Prince Shotoku.
Uh-huh.
What is... Tell me about him.
Oh, Shotoku is the person who lived about 1400 years ago. He was assistant of the Suiko Tempera, emperor. Empress.
And empress, okay.
Yeah. And he made we call it 17条の憲法, which is a constitution with 17 clauses.
Okay, usually they refer to that as a 17 article.
A 17 article
constitution.
Constitution,
right.
17 article constitution.
Okay.
And in that, he ruled the. He wrote rules that was, which was, is, which was observed by the government officials.
Okay, right. He wrote rules that were observed by the government officials. Okay. Uh huh. All
and
right.
Also, he determined, we call it Kanji Junikai. Which is which is 12 classes for government officials.
Right. Okay. Where the 12? Yeah, the 12 official titles, official rankings. Right.
Rankings,
okay.
Yeah, 12 rankings of government officials.
Okay.
And by doing that, he adopted or he hired the able person instead of the prestige family, the sons from prestige families.
Prestigious families.
Prestigious families.
Right, okay. Right, he hired them because they were capable because what, they passed examinations?
Yeah, yeah.
Very capable because they what were able to pass examinations based on the Chinese system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
And also he sent persons to China to learn a lot of things from the Chinese, from the from China.
Right. Okay. Good. Right. So he's famous for those things, right? He also, what did he build that was famous?
Oh, yeah. He built Horyuji. We call it Horyuji, which is the most, the oldest temple made of wood.
Right. It's still in existence, right?
Still
it's still the oldest wooden building in the world, right? He helped. I don't think he put the nails there, but I think he had it built. But, yeah, he's famous for having that constructed. What is one of the most important articles of the 17-article constitution?
Article? Oh, okay. The first one and the most important one is the is an article in which he said we call it wah
means, harmony. Harmony.
Harmony. Yeah. Right, harmony so. is the most important thing.
Right.
And then he said, believe the Buddhism.
Okay, right. He said that. I think what everyone mostly mentions, the first one, I think, is it avoid conflict?
Avoid conflict.
Avoid conflict, yeah. And live. What is it? Live in harmony, or
yeah.
Or harmony, something,
yes.
Like that. Avoid, yeah. Conflict and live in harmony.
Or yes.
Strive for harmony. Good. Okay, good. Yeah, that's Prince Shotoku then. Okay. That's fine. Whenever you decide who you like to be your most important person in history, mm-hmm. then practice that same answer. Mm-hmm. In a sense, okay. What I mean is, don't think, oh, this week I like Prince Shotoku, and then next week maybe it's Tokugawa Ieyasu. Just mm-hmm. stick with your answer and make it a good answer. So if you like Okubo, mm-hmm. that's fine. He was important in the Meiji restoration.
I have to stick to him.
Well, no, but you decide who you like, and then, don't change. So when you get to the guide test, it's not, dare ni shio kana. Don't think of that. No one advance who you want to talk about. So all of these are in the same, like, what is your most, what is your favorite period in history? Who is the most important person in history? What event is the most important? So know in your mind before you go to the guide test what you want to say. That's all. So if you want to pick, Okubo, that's fine. Just, but if you want to change and then make your answer. And it's what I'm just saying is know in advance before, you go to. Know in advance or plan in advance.
Uh-huh.
Plan in advance who you want to talk about, or what event, or what person, and what era. Okay.
So for the guide test, I have to decide this person.
Right. So then you can practice your answer over and over, because yeah. if you just do answers on the top of your head, we say just kind of thinking. A lot of times people make grammar mistakes, or they forget to say important points, and they, I should have said that, but I forgot. So if you have an answer that you have prepared in advance, you can practice that and usually become more confident and not forget something. Okay? So that's what I'm just suggesting for this one, most important person, the period of history you're interested in most. And, as I've said, make sure that you know about the period you choose. People say, oh, my favorite period is Edo period. People lived in peace and Japan has isolation policy. And I ask, okay, when was the Edo period? They go, so ne, So if it's really your favorite period, you should know things about it. So don't just choose an answer like Tektoni, just pick it, right? But, make sure you know about that, okay? Yes. Let's go on to one more question, and it's about, to you, what is the most important event in Japanese history?
Well, the most important event in Japan is, I think, the Second World War.
Okay.
We were defeated by the Allies, finally.
Okay.
It was the most important event in Japanese history because after the Second World War, the Allies came to Japan and they and our new government changed Japanese political system, economic system, economical system, education system, all kind of, not all, but major systems
okay.
were changed by them.
Okay.
So, the present system, most present system are from that change at that time.
Okay.
So, in that sense, so the, of course, in the Meiji Restoration, many things were changed.
Right.
To cope with the European countries and America.
Right.
But at that time, at the Second World, just after the Second World War, that change was far more drastic.
Okay.
Than that took the Meiji Restoration change. So the present system and present our economical
present economy, maybe
economy,
uh-huh.
Present economy was is thanks to the change, I believe.
Right. Okay. Sure. So because of the policies after the war with from the Allied forces, Japan, you know, had many drastic changes, and this enabled Japan to become a, you know, economic world power, world economic power,
yes.
Right? So because of that, that really added to it, right? I think Meiji, some other people, other students choose Meiji restoration as the most important event. That's also very valid. And, you know, as you said, the Meiji period also had many drastic changes. You said that the changes after World War II were even more drastic. Mm-hmm. I think they were more drastic in terms of equalizing people, making more democratic.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of the Meiji Restoration reforms were dramatic, but most of a lot of the feudal lords who were from the Tokugawa period, mm-hmm. their families continued to rule the country and, you know, control the money and things like this. So it was the same elite type of system.
Mm-hmm.
During the Meiji period, wasn't it something like there was more elitist people? Taisho period tried to change that, but a lot of the, you know, people who could vote and things like that were a lot of time in the Meiji were limited to the, you know, elite people and the high class people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the World War II changed it to more really democratic, where everybody's more equal.
Mm-hmm. I have different opinion.
Okay, what do you think? Maybe that's my opinion. Of course, I'm not always right.
From
so.
Edo era, we are sure that the some laws, no, almost all laws in the I don't know what you call it, kingdom.
Okay, in the
Hanshu, it's the Lord of Kingdom.
Oh, okay, the
each
ruling
kingdom.
Lord or something.
Ruling lords
of the domains or something.
Over 100 lords at that time.
Lords.
Mm-hmm. Lords. And they kept their status.
The status, right.
As a aristocrat.
Right.
But they lost almost all power, except for status, in Meiji period already.
Okay.
They are, yes, they have their real estate.
Right.
But except for the real estate, it's huge real estate, even at the center of Tokyo. They kept that. But except for that, they had nothing.
Okay, they didn't have power, right? But they I just thought that a lot of them also weren't a lot of the conglomerate, Zaibatsu and
Zaibatsu is
they had all the economic power.
Yes, they had nothing to do with the Edo era's laws.
Right. What I'm saying, but they came before they came after. The Zaibatsu and things came after, during the Meiji Restoration.
Yes,
right,
yes.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So
they used to be a merchant in Edo era.
Right, they used to be the merchants, so then so it's the same people controlling the economy, maybe, in a sense.
Oh,
I just think my
yeah. The same, Mitsubishi,
Mitsui,
Sumitomo.
Right.
It's clan, economic zaibatsu,
whether it's conglomerates or conglomerates.
Conglomerates.
Yeah, so I think that's why I just think after the war that they became a little bit more democratic.
Oh, yes, yes.
That's why, you know.
They were purged.
Right, they were purged or made to sell off a lot of things. So it became more democratic in terms of economic and, you know.
Yeah, in that things. Sense, correct. Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah. It's fun. I love Japanese history. I don't know everything. I'm no expert, but some things it's fun to talk about. So, okay, good. Let's take a break. Uh-huh. And then we have more questions after.
Okay.
Okay, we'll talk about then. All right, thanks.
Okay, thank you.